So we're doing, this year, we're doing the 10th parak in full. Okay, which is...
Gone?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so again, this year we're doing the 10th parak in Chulon, which is Hazro V'Halachayayim, which is, it's essentially about Matnas Kuhuna, which is that in any animal that you shach, not a karbon, you have to give certain parts of the animal to the Kohen. Okay? Certain parts like the arm and the jaws and the belly, whatever it is. Okay, these are all elchayim keva. But it basically, it becomes part of it runs into, so basically parak is about that. Those are called matanos. I mean, there's 24 matanas kuhuna, not 24 gifts that you give to the kohen, but and used generically, matanos is a reference to the zoro elchayim keva. Okay, but. But essentially, this parak is about that, but it's about Manas Kuhuna in general, in a larger sense. So it's an area that I think I know myself, and probably you guys also aren't that familiar with, but it's good to, it's always good to get a little bit of knowledge in the new areas. So we'll see how it goes. But just as an introduction, so I thought we'd do a few halachos in the Rambam. Okay? Kind of interesting. So it's a little lighter than this. So it's in Hilchos Bikurim. It's in Sefer Zeruim. Hilchos Bikurim im Shar Matnas Kuhuna Shebigvulin. Okay, so that's what the Hilchos Halachas are called. Bikurim is the first fruits with other Matnas Kuhuna in the Gvulin, which are in the outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So it's a compilation of like kind of different halachos that didn't belong elsewhere. Okay, so let's see what he says. So he says arba ve'esrim manas matanos mitnilu kohanim v'kulam mefarshim b'torah. So there are 24 matanos were given to the kohanim, and they're all spelled out in the Torah. Okay, they're all spelled out in the Torah. Okay. The al kulam, I guess he means they're not just Torah Shabbat Pad, but they're all explicit in the Torah. Okay? Which is interesting why that's relevant, but whatever. Okay, the al kulam nichrasu b'ris l'aron. And on all of them, there was a treaty which was made with Aaron. Okay, there's a treaty. What was the treaty? What was Pshat? What was the treaty with Aaron? Okay, so basically, the idea is the treaty is that Aaron or Kohanim are their job is that they work in the Mikdash, right? Their job. They don't in general have a normal job. They also don't have land, right? They don't get part of the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael. They don't get the spoils of war. They work for. They basically that's what they're relegated to the Mikdash, and. Bringing karbanos and teaching Torah and that kind of stuff, and in return they get the 24 manos kuhuna. Okay, they get these gifts. So that's the bris, that's the treaty. They do their part insofar as their service to the Kal Yisrael, which function as kohanim, and then namely give up so to speak their land and give up their regular job and all that, and in return they're taken care of through the manos kuhuna. Okay, so the Manas Kuhuna, it's a bris, it's a treaty. Treaty has two sides, it's an agreement. So I guess it's like a bris that they do this thing and God will give them via Kali Yisrael these matanos. So the bris includes all 24 matanos. The bris has to be specific, what does it include? So it includes all 24 matanos. Okay? They call Kohen She'ina Modeh Bahem Ein Lo Chelik B'Kuhuna. So any Kohen who does not admit, acknowledge them, has no portion in the Kohen. They ain't nosin lo matana mehem, and you don't give him any matana from them. Okay. So what do you think about that? Any thoughts on that?
Okay, it's true. It's strange. Like, what does that mean? He doesn't admit to them. Why doesn't he admit? Well, go ahead.
What kind of thing is that anyway? I mean. He doesn't admit to them. Like, let's say you don't admit to... So the mitzvah's in the Torah. Like, what does that even mean? If Kohen doesn't admit to them, then he doesn't have any chelik in the kuhuna, and You don't give him any matana. Like, what's the whole idea? Like, what's the concept of it? He's not guy not admitting to them. It's strange, I mean.
Maybe if he doesn't admit to them, he's still coming.
You're right. Why also right? Why if all of a sudden he doesn't admit to them, now he doesn't have any chilek in the kuhuna? How does that work exactly? I mean, unless you'll say, like, if you don't admit to a mitzvah, are you still Jewish? I mean, I don't admit to them. This is a strange thing altogether. Is it because you're a kofar or something? Denying the whole Torah? I mean, what's it talking about exactly?
Bahen is a matanos?
What?
Bahen is a matanos?
What?
Bahen is a matanos?
Bahen, yes. Yes, for the Shayna with the Bahen. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the 24 matanos. Yep. And then, right, Ein los mele matana mayhem, so you don't give many of them. Right? You don't give them any of the gifts. If you don't admit in them, we don't give them to you. I guess even if you don't admit in some of them, we're not going to give you any of them. Right? Once you don't admit, you don't admit. Okay? V'chol. Right? It's also, if you don't admit in one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, you got bigger problems than this. I mean, you're a kofar or something in the Torah. I mean, you can't just pick and choose mitzvahs. I'll admit. What does it even mean? I admit that it says it in the Torah. It's open in the Torah. So what does it even mean exactly? It's pshat. Okay, fine. Let's go further. The chol ha'ochal matana sheish ba kedusha, and anyone who eats one of the matanos that has kedusha, we'll see some of them have kedusha, some don't have kedusha. Karbanos ones, I guess, do. Mevarech sheish ba kedusha mehem. Mevarech hasher kedushanu b'kedushaso shel Aharon v'tzivanu lechol kach v'kach. Okay? The guy commanded us to admit and admit in the kedushaso shel Aharon, and he commanded us to eat so-and-so. Okay, any question on that? So again, so Yudah's asking, well, what was your question again? Why is it only these? Only one of the sheish ba kedusha. So Matt says, yeah, wait a second, but who said anything about eating these things? It doesn't say, it just says they're matanos, they're gifts. So I don't think there's a halacha he has to eat them, but these that he does because they're part of karbanos. And the karbanos is the mitzvah to eat them. So if that's the case, that leads us to another question, is what's this doing here? I mean, if you're just telling me there's a mitzvah to eat shlamim, let's say, or whatever, certain parts of karbanos, so just tell me in the middle of shlamim that it's a mitzvah to eat it and make a bracha. Right? I mean, because it's not just matanos kahuna in general, it's only certain specific matanos kahuna. So what's this? It's anyways, it kind of stands out. Like, what's this doing in this halacha? Right? I mean, they tell you in the halacha that if you eat one of the matanos, you make a bracha. I mean, when it comes to those matanos, where he tells you it's a mitzvah to eat them, which he hasn't told you yet, then he'll tell you that you make a bracha. Right? And what the bracha is, it's kind of, it seems a bit out of place. I mean, you'll see, he's going to continue on about his intro to all Manas Kuna. This is intro to Manas Kuna. So this is just like thrown in the middle of nowhere. Just, if you eat one of these things, you make a bracha. Okay, good? Any further questions? Okay, so there again, that's the part I want to analyze, but let's just read a little further just to get some background. So it says, Rami gives you a little survey of all of the Manas Kuna. So we might as well be familiar. Shmona matanos mehem, shmona matanos mehem, ein ochel noson kohanim el b'mikdash, lefenim michel masazar. So eight of them, the kohanim, it could only eat them in the mikdash, inside the azar. The chamesh matanos, ein ochel noson el b'yushalayim, lefenim michel masazar. Five of them, they have to eat inside Yushalayim. The chamesh matanos, ein zochem ba minator el b'arach zil bavad. Another five, they don't have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but there is some location placed in it that they only zocha in Eretz Yisrael. The chamesh lemasechem main rats main mechutz laretz. Right, they have it in Eretz Yisrael, so that gives you 23 so far. Matana achas zochen ba min hamikdash. Okay, the last one they get from the mikdash, but I guess it's not nothing to do with eating it or whatever. It's just they get it from the mikdash. Okay, mayin hashmona sheinechal mikdash. So what are the eight which are only eaten in the mikdash? So basar chatos, meat of chatos, echad chatos lo, vechalas behema. Ubasar ha'asham, bein tali bein vadai. So meat of chatos, meat of asham. Zivchei shalmei tzibor, so the part of the shlamims, right? Umosar ha'omer, leftover of the carbon omer, v'shiari minchas yisrael, leftover of the carbon mincha v'ju, v'shtei alechem, alechem ha'ponim, v'log shemesh ha'metzor. Elu einachal me'mekah. So these eight things, these are parts of different karbanos, and they're eaten in karbanos minchos, and they're eaten in the mikdash. Okay? Good. So presumably those are the ones that have kedusha. I think Oh no, maybe there are those also. Let's see. What are the five that are only eaten in Yerushalayim? So those had to be eaten in the Azara. Now there are five which are eaten in Yerushalayim. Those are the Shok Shel Shlamim. So in a Karban Shlamim, this will be relevant soon. The Karban Shlamim, the Kohanim, Karban Shlamim, some of it is burned on the Mizbeach. Some of it is eaten by the owner of the Karban, and some of it is eaten by the Kohanim. The Chaza and the Shok. Okay, which is... What's that again? We have the shuk is like the thigh bone, the thigh. We have the chazos. So the chazos and the shuk of shlamim, those are eaten in Yerushalayim. The amoro min hatoda, the amoro min al nazir. So the parts of the carbon which is lifted, brought, taken up from the carbon toda and from the al nazir, b'chor behemoth tahora, and the b'chor, right, behemoth tahora, the b'chor, the firstborn the Kohen gets, of that bikurim. Eloi nechal nebishalayim. And bikurim, first fruits, so these are all eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay? Yes.
So,
Israel. What are the five that are in Eretz Yisrael? So these are a little more familiar with. Truma, right? Truma, the first, you take a portion of your fruits and get your grain, your wheat, and you give it to the Kohen. Truma is my, I think, your grain and your olives and your wine, right? Truma is Meiser. And a portion of the Meiser, which is given to the Levi, the Chachala, right, and part of your dough, your kneading, the Shlosh Lan Kodesh, those are all like Kodesh. Reish Zagez is Pshat, is that you, the first of your shearings. You have a sheep, so the first of your shearings you give to Kohen. Vistechuza. And, the fields, which you inherit, I forget the exact details, but, certain fields, which are after they're redeemed, or at Yovel, they go back to the Kohen. Right? I think if you don't get a chance to redeem it by Yovel, I think it goes back to the Kohen. It's in the second. The Shneim Chulin, those are Chulin. Okay? Eilu ein zochem bama element or al v'Yisrael. So those are only in Eretz Yisrael. The ein ochlin shrumos v'chalash v'Yisrael al v'Yisrael. You only let eat these things in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? U'mehen hein chamishim, u'mayin chamishim shizochem bama kam v'chalmak. What are the five that apply everywhere? Hamatanos. Hamatanos refers to these. They're all the Chayim Akeva. So you see the Ram holds those apply now in Chatzaritz. Pidyon Haban, right? Pidyon Haban, which you're familiar with. Peter Chamor, and it's the firstborn of the donkey. The Gezel Ager. I think if you steal from a Ger, and he doesn't have any relatives that you need to pay it back to, so then he goes to the Kohen, but he dies. And you steal from him, and then he dies, so there's no one to pay it back to. The Acharamim. Okay, so if you make some sort of a hekdesh neder or whatever, Quran. And those are all chulin. Okay, they don't have any condition. So when you have a carbon ola, the skin, the whole thing is burned, but the skins go to the kohen. So the skins of kachay kachim, which are ola, ashen and chatas, those all go to the those all go to the Kohen. Okay?
Fine. What's the difference between that and the first ones?
I guess they're not eaten. I think those are just zochen bam in a mikdash. You know, they're not foods or whatever. It's just like a zchus. They just get it. You know, it's nothing to do with eating. Mm-hmm. So there's no where you eat it or whatever. Right? Okay, so this is just a little of a survey just to get a feel for what manas kuna entails. There are lots of different types of things. It's actually an interesting halacha, which I think explains the different angle on all the matanos. It just gives you a sense for them. Let me just show you. Let me find that one. Another one. Oh, okay, here it is. This is interesting. It's in the same haser halacha. It's Perek Yud Halacha Hay. Perek Yud Halacha Hay. So this is in the middle of the parak. By the way, the prakim are about different of these matanos. So the ninth parak is one we're going to be most doing is about Zerah Lechayim Akeva, which is the matanos. And the tenth one is about Reish Sageiz, which is the first of the shearings. Okay, so it says, Yud He, yes. Yeah, parak Yud Halacha. It says, Kivon Shezichalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Trumos.
Parak Yud Halacha.
So Hashem was with Zaka. The gave the rights of the Kohanim in the Trumos, Shehin Lachmo, V'Yeno, Right, this is the bread and the wine of the Kohen, because the Kohen, after all, he doesn't have his own fields, he doesn't have, right? So this is bread and his wine is through Truma, right? Because Truma applies to the wheat and to wine, to grapes, and also to oil. Menatara. Vizichalo v'matanos behema v'kachem esbeach shema baso shalo. And he needs meat also. Where is he getting meat? So that's from the Zeruach Lahim Mekeva. It means any time I shaft the carbon chula and I have to give it to the Kohen. And then from the Kachim and the Mizbeah and the Mikdash also he gets meat. So that's where he gets his meat from. So he gets his meat, his bread and his wine from Chuma. Right? He gets his meat from the Matanos and from Kachim, from the Karbanos. Zichalo Beresh Zagez Lolovsho. So he gets the Beresh Zagez, the first shearing for his clothes. Right, because he needs clothing. But a normal person has clothing because he has a field. He has a field, he could take his sheep and put them on his field, and he could, right, a field, sheep need a field to graze on. So he says, so the Kohen's not going to really be able to have sheep either. So that's how he gets his clothing. And there's a whole list of these other things, the Hotza for his expenses. Okay, for his expenses. Because he doesn't have a portion in the land, the inheritance of the land, there weren't any spoils of war. So the regular Israel has portions in the war, in the land, and in spoils of the war. So he's going to be able to get all this stuff, right? But a Kohen is deprived of all of these things. So he, in turn, gets the Manas Kahuna, which gives him all his different necessities. Right? He has his food, his bread and his wine, he has his meat, he has his clothing, he has his just cash, spending cash from these other things. Okay, so I'm giving you like a picture. It's like the Chavadal Matanos is not just a random collection of stuff, but it's essentially God setting up a system where the Kohen and all his needs will be taken care of. Okay? Okay, fine. So with that in mind, we have to get back to our problems. Okay? Back to the first. So again, what we just did now for the last 5-10 minutes is more just informational. Okay, what I want to analyze really is the first halacha or two. Break it up. Okay, so what's the deal here with the bris for Aaron? I guess the biggest problem, the most outstanding problem, I think, is this idea of his ainu modavan. Like, what's he talking about? Right, and his ainu chelek b'kahuna. Well, like, what's Aaron teaching us here? What's the concept? He's not modavan. How does he lose? How does he become a non kohen somehow? Right, he doesn't get any matanos. And then I guess why he's mentioning the bracha. Right, that's also. That's another problem. Which is the Gemara is the Gemara's a little complicated, but the Gemara, the source of the Rambam, the Shigazer says, is from a Gemara in the Chulin. The Gemara talks about if a Kohen is. It's funny. At first, the Gemara says a Kohen is not a bucky in all the Matanos doesn't get a portion in them, or he doesn't have a chelik in the Kuna. He's not an expert in them. The Gemara says, "What do you mean? Is he an expert?" So basically, it retracts. Says something. No, it's a Kohen who does not mode in them. But it's a different pshat. The Gemara is different things. One thing it says is not modeh in the matanos. Another one says not modeh in the karbanos, in all the karbanos. I think he has both of them.
Sure.
I think so. I looked there. Yeah. But that's really interesting. Is ha'avmina in the Gemara is that even if he's not a bucky in the matanos, he's not an expert in all the matanos, then he wouldn't get a portion in the kuna. Yeah. But sure, the Gemara has a case where he's not modeh in avoda. And it says, Rashi says, what does it mean a guy's not modern? It says, Shalmar Belibo. He says in his heart, Divrei Hevelim. It's like emptiness. God didn't command us to make Karbanos. Moshe, Badam and Libo, Moshe made it up. Right? Eino chelik b'kuhuna. Eino chelik b'kachim. He doesn't get kachim. But I mean, that's... The thing is, you don't get the benefits of the kachim, of the kohen, if you just don't believe in all of them. Right? See, Karbanos is, but I like, kind of you could see someone believing, you know, holding something like that. It's Karbanos, to say it's primitive, you could be animal rights, animal, whatever it is. But it's kind of funny to say I don't believe in the Matanos. Right? I mean, the Matanos are just like, here, you get 24 gifts. It's like, kind of funny to not be more than that. Right? A little strange. Okay, I'm just reading from the Moran Ruchim. I'm going to read it in English. The Friedland there on page 339. It's book 3, chapter 39. Okay. It says the law, purpose of the law is concerning the portions which are to be given to the poor is likewise obvious. The reason of the law concerning the heave offerings and the tithe is distinctly stated. This is Manas Kuna. For he has no portion in inheritance with thee. You certainly know that the Levites had no portion because their whole tribe was to be exclusively engaged in service of God and the study of the law. They shall not plow or cut the corn, but shall only minister to God. Quote, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee. That's in Zosah Bracha, right? It's Yoram Shpetach Yaakov Zosah Yisrael. Means their role is to be teachers and bring up kavanas. They don't just do kavanas; they're supposed to teach also. The ones they're devoted their life towards learning. Because it turns out, it's, I don't know if people are aware of this, but how many days of the year did your average kohen work in the Beis Mikdash?
2 weeks.
So there's shifts. There are 2 week shifts for all the families. There was, I think, 24 different families. 24, right? 24 families, which work 2 weeks each, and then on the Shalosh Regalim, everyone was on duty, because all Kali Yisrael came. So your average Kohen is there 2 weeks plus the Shalosh Regalim. So the rest of the year, what was he doing? So he's learning, and this is what they did. It's a pretty good job, you know? It's a good deal. Great for Yeshiva guy, what? I'm sorry?
Learning and teaching.
Learning and teaching, yes. Exactly. So, in the law, we meet frequently with the phrase, the Levite, the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow. For the Levite is reckoned among the poor, because he had no property. Right? So in a certain sense, they're saying, it's like, Levim are, basically, their role is the Kohanim to work in the Mikdash. The Kohanim and Levim, I guess, right? They work in the Mikdash. They don't have land. They don't work. They don't have jobs. In a certain sense, they're like the poor, and therefore the mitzvah is to take care of them. That's the press. I worry about the press that they're taking care of, but that's our mitzvah, is to do that. Okay, fine. So you're saying is the person may not want to accept that role. Right? You're saying you may not be modes, like it's a certain kind of a role, that he's like a kind of like a dependent.
Right.
He doesn't get a job, it's a certain he may not want to do that. Okay, so that's good. But the question then still is, okay, fine, so you don't do that, now all of a sudden, how does that work halakhically that you're losing Matanos? Right, and, right. Let me give you one other Rambam to think about, and maybe we'll, I'll leave you with some of these problems to think about. Okay, but, just the Lashon, what does it mean he's not Moda? It just reminded me of a different Rambam, which is an interesting Rambam in its own right. So maybe we'll digress and analyze it in its own right, but maybe it'll help us with this anyways. So it's the Rambam of Avodah Zarah. Oh, it says like this. This is in Avodah Zarah Beis Dalet. Mitzvahs of Avodah Zarah Keneged Kol Mitzvahs Kulan. Okay, so Mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is Keneged, like I guess on par with all the mitzvahs. Shenemer v'chi sishku v'losasu es kol ha-mitzvah so'ila asher dira shem al-moshe es kol asher tziva shem al-echem b'yad moshe min hayom. So if a person makes a mistake and is a shogeg and he violates all kol ha-mitzvah so'ila v'mpiyash mo'olam du shvel v'zorga v'mabir, it's really not talking about all the mitzvahs, it's talking about v'zara, but you see it calls it all the mitzvahs ha-lamadita shekol to shek ha-lamadita. Shekol ha-moda be'avodah zara, if anyone is moda in avodah zara, kafar b'chalatar kula. Okay? If you're moda in avodah zara, if you admit in, I guess, the truth of avodah zara, you're kofar in the entire Torah, u'v'chol ha-neviyim, and in all the neviyim, u'v'chol mash and etzlavu ha-neviyim, may Adam itself olam, and in all which the neviyim commanded, from Adam until the end of the world, for all of eternity. Sh'ne'amar min hayom ha-shatzi v'ashem ha-holod or sechem, from the Hashem commanded and onwards forever. Okay? Bez Dalet. Bez Dalet.
Again, this is one who admits in Avodah
Zarah. One who admits that Avodah Zarah, it's funny what it adds. He denies all Torah and all the Nevi'im and all which the Nevi'im commanded. Right? I mean, is it enough he denied the Torah? Like, what's he throwing on a lot of things here? Right? Okay? But that's not even the part which I'm more interested in. But it's very interested in it, but not for us. The chol hakofer avodah zarah, and anyone who denies avodah zarah, moda b'chol Torah kula. He's admitting in the old Torah. The ikar kol mitzvah kula, and it's the essence of the ikar of all the mitzvahs. So what does that mean? If you deny avodah zarah, then you're admitting all the mitzvahs. Admitting the whole Torah. You admit acknowledging the whole Torah. So, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, everyone, like, acknowledges the whole Torah. Right? If you deny avodah zarah, then you acknowledge the whole Torah. It's kind of strange. I don't know. Something that reminds me, it sounds similar to me, is like the term moda doesn't exactly mean, like, I admit. You know, because it's strange to say, as a guy who denies avodah zarah, he admits the whole Torah. Oops, did he get unplugged or something?
Yeah.
Oh, he got knocked out?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's, right, it just sounds like, what does that mean, he admits in the whole Torah? I mean, it can't mean that he admits the whole Torah, like he says, I admit the whole Torah is true. And how does that work? If you deny of a desara, then it's like you admit the whole Torah. Yeah. So, but it sounds similar to me as our case. It's like it's not moda and they're not in the mata and the mata's going on. So I guess, so that's my question. Maybe we could just, take a break from our sugya and analyze this. I'm not sure. We could do either order, but maybe we could do that. Maybe we could just kind of take a little pause on what we're doing and analyze this this Rambam. Okay, because it's a fundamental. It seems like pretty important. Right. I mean, digression, philosophical, whatever. But it's, you know, really important. So let's try to analyze this Rambam, and then maybe we'll come back to our. Maybe it will help us. Maybe it won't. But anyways, you know. Like I think the Rambam says in Parshas Shnayos somewhere that he says whenever he comes upon a yisod, he stops whatever he's doing and he just focuses on that. So, you know, kind of reminded me of that, and it's an interesting Rambam. So, okay, so I guess what's the time? Is it so? Let's stop here. So let's think about that for. I guess tomorrow we'll try to just take this Rambam in its own right. So in this Rambam, what's these two things? What's on both sides? If you deny the, what's it mean if you deny? You accept the desire that you deny the Torah and the Nevi'im and everything any Nabi came in forever. What's that? What are those three things? And then on this side, what does it mean if you like, I understand what it means to admit, acknowledge the desire. It means you admit that it's true. Right? But what does it mean if you deny the desire, then you're moda in the whole Torah? Right? What does it mean to be moda in the whole Torah? To acknowledge that the whole Torah is true? Okay? So let's work on this.